Excellent. Just want to start this. There we go. Okay. We are looking, and Terry said it, we're going to look at prayer in the next couple of weeks. And I know when I say that, some people will get excited and go, yes, at last. And others will go, well, chutz. It's known that women has got, I can't remember the exact amount, of thousands of words per day that they can use. And men are significantly less. So when a man stops at the garage and he puts petrol in and he speaks to that guy, it goes down. Then he gets to work and it goes down. So when he gets home, it's finished. His quota of talking is done. But the woman recharges sometime. So they carry on talking. But I want to tell you, when we think of prayer, the plain, easiest definition I can give is speaking to God. And I want to tell you that if I have a relationship with my wife, Laura, I can't tell her, listen here, we only talk on a Wednesday. Some of you here think, yeah, that will be a blessing. No, it's not. Some wives might think, yes, I wish my husband will only. Friends, that's not a relationship. That is like, I think I know you. If communication is reserved for one day, you and I can't say we're in a relationship. It's like, I actually just surfacely know who you are. But every day as we talk, we get to know more about each other. Friends, unfortunately, for some people, they do it with God. They reserve talking to Him for a morning like this where we worship a little bit and then we talk to Him. We reserve talking to Him maybe on a Wednesday in our life groups. That's when we talk to Him. Some of the youth will wait for a Friday or exams and then they'll pray to Him. But I want to tell you what God's desire and His heart's desire is to hear you every morning. I want to tell you that in a jokingly way, He wakes up and He sits with His coffee ready to hear from you. How do you and I react with that? How do you and I respond to say, Lord, I want to speak to you? And can I tell you very openly this morning, God wants to speak back. It's not just me and you bringing our checker 60-60 list and little scooter brings it. It is not our 60-60 helper in the sky. God says, I want to speak back to you into your life. And I know there's some people sitting here and saying, it feels like I'm hitting the ceiling. I want to tell you that God says, I will never leave you. God is there. Sometimes does it feel like, man, I'm just like, He's there, friends. Just carry on. So this morning, I'm going to look at prayer. And for me, a healthy family is a praying family. So we're going to look at 4 New Testament prayers in the next 4 weeks. The first one today will be a spirit who reveals. Second one will be spirit who empowers, a spirit who leads, and then the spirit who equips. So that's the next 4 weeks. We're going to look at that. Prayer is practice that's almost everywhere familiar with all people, all difference of faith. Little faith or no faith. Like I said, some of you that have no faith, as soon as you walk into that exam hall and you know you haven't studied, your faith levels just rise, eh? And you pray, Lord Jesus, help me with this exam. It's the best. I remember playing rugby in high school. I went to this one school in Pietermaritzburg. And so I don't know why they pray before the game. It's very interesting because it's not like God's got a favorite team, eh? Although He does, it is the Sharks, I know that. But, you know, He doesn't have like, this is the best team. Because trust me, I pray for Man United every week and it doesn't work. So all you Liverpool fans, I know you think he is off. He's not. He doesn't have a favorite team. So, no, nothing like that. So when this guy started praying before the match, there's like swear words and everything in this prayer. And I said, whoa, hang on, maybe I must pray. Because I think all 15 of us are going to get injured if you carry on praying. Friends, sometimes we use prayer in only certain circumstances of our life. But for us as believers, prayer is not something we do. It is something we are. It's a lifestyle. It's something we live. It's our communion with God. If you look at Luke 11:1, even there, it's one of the first questions that the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. They observed Him. They looked at Him. And one of the first things they looked at Jesus is, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So the first prayer we're going to look is that Paul prayed to the Ephesian church. Now, I know you at the back has got some scriptures, and I'm actually going to skip some of this. Paul, a few later, lands up in prison in Rome, and he starts writing this to this church. And if you have your Bible with you, you can open in Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 19. And I want to encourage you that you just take this scripture and just go through it. For the life group guys, you're going to look at this scripture again in the week. And I want to encourage you. This one is a bit of a long one, but later on, I want to challenge for you. Try and memorize these prayers. And it's so important for me and you to pray scripture, because it's easy to pray in God's will when we do that. And it teaches us how to pray. So Paul prays this, and he says this in Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is now where Paul comes in and he starts praying. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. This was an amazing church in Ephesus. They've seen signs and wonders. They've been growing. It's actually a base church. And funny enough, that's something that Mark Wimble was preaching and prophesying over this church, that we will be a base church. Now, for us that's not used to that language, it basically says that you and I will be a church that from here on, other things will start happening. And I trust God for that. I trust that we will see people rise up here like the little one today, that can grow and become a little minister. I pray that people are sitting here never thinking about that, that God says, maybe you need to go plant somewhere else. We will gladly send you. We will gladly help you, because we're a base church. And I pray, and that's why I said that we will have life groups in different areas. We were talking around the table last night with volunteers dinner, that there's some people living in the south that's got to drive here. Why don't we start a life group there? There's people that joined us in Boksburg. I know, you need your passport stamp to get across there. But you know what? Why not start a life group there? Why do we need to... We are a base church, friends. We've got to understand that. So Paul is writing this letter, and he starts off with this. He says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. I love this. Where's Paul? He's in prison. He's stuck in prison. Trust me, it's not like a 5-star bed and there's like going lacquer there. He's in the worst place you can think of at that moment. And he's writing to this people, and he doesn't start like this. Oh, so by the way, do you guys know I'm in prison, eh? You know I'm in prison. I'm stuck here. My ankles has got like a bracelet around. It's not nice. It doesn't look like a Gucci bracelet. It's horrible. My feet, I actually got stripes on my back. Paul doesn't start like that. He says, you know what? I'm thinking of you guys. And as I'm thinking of you, I thank God for you. Friends, God has placed people in and around your life. When last did you thank God for them? Or some of you say, God, please thank them. I hope not. Paul says, when I think of the church in Ephesus, I thank God for you. And actually, when you look at all Paul's letters, every time he starts thinking about these churches, he says, I thank God for you. Friends, I want to tell you, start being grateful for the people that God has put in your life. As an elder, eldering and leading people, that is the most interesting thing. Today we do a baby dedication. On Thursday, I'm doing a memorial. It's where life starts and where life ends, eh? Somebody said this once, and don't overthink it, but he says the actual job of an elder is to help you to die well. And it is what it is. It's exactly that. We are here to help you to die well and to make sure that when you close your eyes, you'll be with him in eternity. And I love what Terry said. Dedication today does not mean salvation for that baby. It means that mom and dad train them up the way that they should go, that he should go. And I love that saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And this is Hope City Village. And together we raise, together we help. But friend, salvation comes when you and I make that decision, confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. And you can only do that when you can start thinking out. And there's no age to that. Please don't think you have to be 20 or 30. I've had little young kids come to and do that realization. And when they talk, you realize they know exactly what it's about. But we don't pray for little ones to receive salvation. We just anoint them and we bless them and we dedicate them back to God. So that's that, you just understand that. But Terry explained that so nice. Paul says, I thank God for you. Friends, a prayer like that starts putting the focus on people around you, not just on yourself. That's why I say prayer can sometimes be a very selfish thing. And it's okay to bring your things. Please don't, because it also says you don't get because you don't ask. You know, that's also the reality. So don't be that meek and mild little, I can't ask God for this. I can't. Yes, you can. He's your Father. And He wants to. And He does say that He came to give you life. Life in abundance, friend. And trust me, I'm not preaching prosperity and go out here and sow a Boeing and get another Boeing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God wants to look after you because He is your Father and He's a good Father. So what does Paul pray? He starts off, and here's one of those chochos in my iPad. We've got this weird little bugs in my house. It feels like Durban. Hey? I've got stuff in my kitchen that I don't want there and stuff in my bedroom I don't want there. That might sound weird, but it's not, I promise. So Paul starts to pray, and he says this. And please listen. Please hear what he's saying here. This is the first point, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know God better. Let's break this quickly down. This very spiritual word, revelation, it simply means this, to take the lid off something or to draw back the curtain. That is revelation. When it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to God Himself, who is spirit and therefore invisible, we need help to be able to see. The Holy Spirit is the person who draws back the curtain on the Father and the Son, and He makes them visible to us. That's beautiful, eh? So Paul is saying, I pray to you that Holy Spirit will come and draw back the curtain so you can see who He is. I pray to you, Hope City, that the lid will be opened up so you can look in there and you can see more about God. I remember the beginning of this year, I prayed and I said, Lord, my prayer for everyone here is that every day we will look to our left and we'll see something new. We will look to our right and we'll see something new. Friends, as Paul is praying this, I pray for all of us that God will come, Holy Spirit will come, and every morning He will open the curtain and we'll see something new about Him. He'll come this side and He'll open the lid and we'll see something more about Him. When you look at Matthew 16, verse 13 to 7, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. This scripture here gives us that picture of the Holy Spirit drawing the curtain open and says, this is who Jesus is. And I want to tell you this morning, you and I have that same spirit that every morning wants to draw the curtain open and say, this is who He is. And I pray that you and I will receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation every morning, that when we open our eyes, we will see Him clearly. The church is full of people that we thought would never come to church. And maybe you are one of them. Hey? You think by yourself, man, when I was in varsity in Pietermaritzburg, the last thing I thought of was sitting in a church. The last thing I thought of was sitting here today under God's word. The last thing I thought of was being part of this worship band. The last thing. Why is that, friends? Because the Holy Spirit opened up the curtain and people start seeing who He is. That's why it's so important for me and you to keep sharing the good news. That's why it's so important for me and you to share our testimony. That is so important to invite people to come to church. Not that our words will get them saved, but the Holy Spirit will open up the curtain and they will see Him clearly. Let's not stop that. Remember the stage of this church that Paul describes, and yet he keeps asking for more revelation. Whatever you know, there's more. Whatever you've experienced, there's more. However much you know of the Father and the Son, I want to tell you, there is more. God is infinite, and so knowing never comes to an end. There's a sad scripture in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 3:1, where the revelation stopped. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. There was no widespread revelation. When revelation stops, we become people of ritual, habit, form, and religion. I want to say that again. When revelation stops, we become people of ritual, habit, form, and religion. Every day, you and I can experience something new of God. Every day, something new is a vast, big, amazing God. And there's something every single day for me new. Paul's journey was one of ongoing revelation. And you can read Philippians 3, verse 10 to 14. Just verse 10. God says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, become like him in his death. Paul says, Lord, I know you, but I want to know you better. Because there's more. And then he ends Ephesians 1:17. Paul says, I keep asking. I keep asking. Friends, may our prayer life be that of you keep asking. Holy Spirit, open that curtain. Holy Spirit, take that lid off. I want to know you more. And then the second point, he prays this. The eyes of their heart to be enlightened. The eyes of their hearts to be enlightened. Now we know physical eyes. And sometimes these eyes are going bad, hey? So many people here has prophesied this over my life. When you hit 40, watch, those glasses are going to come. And I said, rubbish, man. I'm 47 now and I started wearing glasses. Okay, so if you prophesied that, you were right. It happened. And I realized when I look at my phone, everything looks a little bit different to when I was 20. So same as Terry, that every now and again you see him do this, I do the exact same. I'm just hiding it at home. So when I'm here, my font is actually size 20, so I can see what's going on here. But you don't have to know that. With our natural eyes, we navigate what's going on here. Paul says, I pray that the spiritual eyes of your heart may open so that you may navigate the spiritual world. It's a prayer for every single one of us. Yes, we can see clearly. Paul says to this church, and I'm saying this morning, Hope City, I pray that the eyes of our hearts will open up so that we can see the spiritual things happening in and around us. There's this Old Testament story, and let's quickly look at that in 2 Kings 6, verse 14. Then he sent horses and chariots and strong forces there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded them. Oh no, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. He answers this, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed this, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Friends, without normal eyes, you're going to see a lot of problems. You're going to see a lot of things. You're going to look at the rand dollar and you're going to go, oorgats. You're going to look at your budget and you're going to look at your expenses and you're going to go, hierdie gaan nie werk nie. Hierdie kite gaan nie vlieg nie. You're going to look at your health sometimes and you go, it's impossible. Friends, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will open up so you can see him. So that the one that looks past all these natural circumstances says, but I've got something different for you. This is what the world is saying, but this is what I am saying. Elijah's servant looked at this and he goes, it's impossible. There's too many. And Elijah actually opened his door and he goes, yeah, it's not a problem. And he went back in. This poor servant is probably shaking. He goes, you don't understand. There's thousands of them. He goes, yeah, but there's, look behind them. There's actually millions there. No, but how's that impossible? How's that possible? Lord, open his eyes. This morning I pray, God will just come and open our heart. Come open the eyes of our heart so you and I can see what he's doing. In that, three quick reasons why Paul is praying for this. Number one, to know the hope to which God has called his people. Zechariah 9:12, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is a beautiful phrase, you prisoners of hope. You and I are bound, we are chained to hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. It's the only one. Friends, this hope also talks about our future. This hope is that our stance is this, that this is only temporary. We know that there's a home waiting for us far beyond this earthly tent. There's something more permanent for me and you. Acts 7:55. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Open the eyes of my heart so that I can see the hope that I have. Right here, as Stephen was being stoned, his eyes opened up and he saw exactly what is lying ahead of him. Luke 23:43, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And this is talking about the thief next to him on the cross. Hey, I laughed, and we've said that so many times. Maybe you've heard and you've seen that video. But how many times does that little phrase right there throw a lot of theology out the window? Eh? There was no like a 10-week course of foundations. There was no justification. There was nothing. It's like, today you will be with me in heaven. Why? Because he opened up the eyes of his heart. And that thief right there took the curtain away and he saw Jesus for who he was. And that hope was being restored. Number two. The glorious riches of his inheritance in his people. So when we pray, Father, open our eyes, my eyes, their eyes, to see the riches of your glorious inheritance in your people. What is this beautiful thing saying? Lord, show me what you see in people. It says, I'm praying to see people as God sees them. Now, sometimes we need that, eh? Sometimes you have that colleague sitting next to you and you're like, Lord, just show me what you see. Because I don't see it. There's some wives here that go, Lord, show me what you see in my husband. Because there's days that I don't see it. That rubbish bin, I've asked him 10 times. Just take it out. Marnia, there's maggots already there. And he doesn't listen. All I ask is unpack the dishwasher. Marnia, Lord, show me what you see in him. Romans 14:4. Who are you? Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand for or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Colossians 3:11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. See, with a natural eye, we see Jew or we see Gentile. It says here that, Lord, open my eyes to see people the way that you see them. Hope City, I pray that God will open our eyes, that we will see people the way that God sees them. You know what? We start treating people differently. We start treating ourselves differently. We start looking at things completely differently. When the eyes of our heart have been enlightened, we see all people as needing to be saved, Palestinian or Jew, Russian or Ukrainian. We see all people needing compassion and grace and mercy, and see all saved people as work in his hands of God the Father. It's a prayer that asks God to help us see people according to their saved future, not their unsaved past. And the last point, immeasurable greatness of his power for his people. We're going to look at this point a bit more in detail next week. But the same Holy Spirit that empowers the Lord Jesus lives in you and I. He is the gift and he brings gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, he lists the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14, he tells us how to desire these gifts. And in 1 Corinthians 14:40, he tells us how to use these gifts. The prayer asks God to help the church see them. It's much easier to lower our expectation to match our experience. But it's the prayer we ask God to raise our gaze, not to lower our standard. This prayer is about knowing God, coming to know him, and continue to know him. To know God and to continue knowing him. Can I ask that you please stand with me? The band, you don't have to worry. Friends, I've got my bedroom is in a little bit of a loft, so there's every morning, either myself or my wife will open that curtain and we see the one view. So a lot of the times it's sunshine or it's rain or it's cloudy, but it's one view. That's what I see every morning. I like the view, it's not bad, but it's one view. And I feel there's so many of us sitting here that you only have one view of God. There's so many of you that you only see one thing. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you might know Him better. I pray that this morning, even now, close your eyes with me. I pray that He will come and He'll just draw back the curtain and just say to you, my son, my daughter, there's so much more. Pray this morning that you can open the lid and just say, you know what? Look in there. There's so much different things to look at. And that's my prayer for every single one of us. That you and I, every morning, every day as we walk, just say, Holy Spirit, just open that curtain. This is my view that I've had for so long. Lord, there's so much more. Show me who you are. He's a loving Father that wants to reveal Himself to His kids. He doesn't hide away from you. He wants to open that lid and say, look, this is what it's all about. Lord, thank you that we can come to you in this morning. And as we start just this a little series on prayer, and as we're praying scripture, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will come and draw back the curtain in people's lives so that they must see and know you. You're a good God. You're a gracious God. You're a loving Father. I pray, Lord, that we will start to know you and continue to get to know you. There's so much about you that we will never, ever in this lifetime get to know and understand. But we pray this morning, Holy Spirit, draw that curtain open so that we can see you. Reveal yourself to us. Lord, we surrender to you, and I thank you for friends and family here this morning. Lord Jesus, come and have your way in our lives. Even this week as we walk into new challenges, open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you clear, that we may know you, and we see the plans that you have for us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Even as we leave here, thank you that your hand is upon us. Thank you that you are the one that keep us, sustain us, provide for us, and protect us. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. And everyone say, amen. Amen.